Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 7th of July, recording at 9:18 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, I'll only comment on the markets because I've already mentioned briefly the terrorist bombings. So, for the markets, Asian stock markets, we saw a little bit of weakness in here today, but I don't want to read too much into that because some of those markets had not closed before the European markets started to sell off quite sharply in response to the news from London. But Asian markets were also affected a little bit by the weakness that we'd seen on Wall Street yesterday. Now, in terms of overall action there in the Asian markets. India, well, it's been the best of the lot, but it looks overextended to me and a little bit tired. But I've said to you before on many occasions, I'm not going to try to time this one, not unless it does something absolutely ridiculous on the upside, which it hasn't. I'll ride. So therefore, if we get a correction, I'll ride that out and might pick up even more if it's a sufficient reaction. Now, Japan, also quite interesting, that TSE Second Section Index, have a look at that in the chart library, that continues to edge upwards. And that looks just extremely impressive. Japan was down very little today, only 13 points on the Nikkei. But Japan had closed before the London news. But I don't expect that to have a big spillover in terms of sentiment. I don't expect it to have any global implications. I expect it to have very little impact on the UK economy, as I mentioned. So, what else can we mention here? Australia. Now, I believe Australia was still open when. Still trading when London's news came through, but yesterday we had seen that would have been on Wednesday, we did see a small downside key day reversal. Now Owen and I looked at that and felt that, well, it was too small really to shout about, but it did occur at a relatively important level. Today's downside follow-through was very much an indication that there is quite strong resistance up at these levels, and it would take quite a good rally here tomorrow or very soon thereafter, really, to offset that bit of short-term technical deterioration. And the European markets, well, they were really roiled in here today, as you're probably aware, but closed way off the lows. And Wall Street's close in here today was impressive because Wall Street came in soft. I think was down as much as 85 points at one stage on the Dow, closed up 31, nearly 3 on the Nasdaq, on the S&P, and up 7 on the Nasdaq. So really roiling activity, but that's hardly surprising. But as I've already said, these things in the comment of the day, these things tend to wash out fairly quickly, and then we get back to the factors that pertained before. I maintain they're not all that attractive for stock markets. I'm talking now about the seasonal and cyclical factors that I've mentioned on so many occasions, plus the U.S. cycle of rising short-term interest rates. Now, bond markets had soared in here today on the London news and then gave up most of those gains. An example, for instance, the Euro Bund, which had closed on Wednesday at 122.66. It spiked up to 124.06. And then closed at 123.08, so still up 42 ticks on the day, but way off the high. UK gilts had similar action. And the US 30-year treasury bonds, they opened it, or no, they opened. I'm not sure I trust that opening, but at any rate, they had a high on the day of 118.30. I'm looking at the Bloomberg screen here right now, and closed at 117, or maybe that's after hours trading here, that 117.15. So that's just a very small gain on the day, just up seven ticks. So big tails on the upside for the bonds. That looks a little bearish to me. And big tails on the upside for the European stock markets. We may see some relief rallies here tomorrow, but again, I don't think there's that much upside potential at all. My best case scenario all along was that markets would range sideways. I thought we'd get a bunchy jump to the downside, more than what we saw in that March, first half of April period. I thought we would see that sort of downside move, bigger downside move, in other words, at some point before the end of October this year. We still could, of course, but we haven't yet. My other script for that, which I thought was less likely, was that we would just see markets overall ranging sideways, or Wall Street ranging sideways, in which case some of the other markets that had more going for them, or were regarded as such, would push to new highs, but probably not run a very long way. So far, that script, Wall Street moving sideways, has been the clearly been the dominant theme, and that's therefore the Wall Street the Wall Street leash effect that I keep referring to has not been all that negative. It's been a fairly benign environment. But have a look at those Wall Street charts in the subscribers library. And of course, you can switch between point and figure charts for the longer term history, the weekly candles and the daily candles. And I think when you look at the downward dynamics that you see, the down days really since March have been bigger than the up days. The clear exception to that was in mid-April. Okay, bonds have already covered in here now. On currencies, we saw the US dollar weaken. That was a bit surprising, except because obviously it was unrelated to the bombings, which clearly the dominant story, overriding story on the day. But when you get a dramatic event like that, it tends to cause most markets to move in the opposite direction of what they were previously doing. In other words, people close out some positions. And since the dollar had been strong, people took some profits in the US dollar. It fell back, but it recovered most of that. Give you an example. For instance, the euro had run up to 120.42 at the high. That was up over a full point, but then settled back. It's up a tiny bit here at 119.44. The dollar has been trading in the narrowest of ranges for the last 4 days. There is resistance up at these levels, but so far, in the absence of a downward dynamic, this looks like a consolidation. And I've got to repeat what I've been saying all along in this rally, that there is no clear evidence that the US dollar rally is over, although I suspect we've seen the best of it. But currency markets can so often overshoot, or any market trend can so often overshoot, although that's a short-term phenomenon. Now, the dollar's rally paired gains sharply in the precious metals sector. For instance, gold had rallied up to 428.90, closed back at 424. still living in the shadow, that's the US dollar price, of course, still living in the shadow of what's taking place with the US dollar. We saw a similar action in platinum here today, and also silver, although silver held more of its gains than the other precious metals. And that's pretty much it. We also had some more volatile action in the soybeans. Every time those get thumped, Owen and I sort of look at each other and say, well, they're probably buys here, and should we go in? But didn't in here today, and they rallied up again quite sharply. But the point on that is not what Owen and I are doing in those, but as far as those agricultural commodities, as far as all the commodities are concerned, I would not consider them unless they do get hit quite hard, and you wait. If it's been an orderly decline, then I would orderly persistent decline. I would wait for the first upward dynamic. If you're interested in these markets, that usually signals a tradable rally, and one has had to jump aside at the first hint of inconsistency in the upward trends more often than not, because these markets have been really quite choppy. The oil prices ranged around as much as anything. We got up over 62 at one stage. That's mostly on the hurricane and tropical storm news coming out of the U.S. Gulf Coast. Then oil fell back very, very sharply. I think it actually fell back under $58 at one stage. After hours trading here at 60, 70. Again, nervous environment overall. Have a good evening.